orthopaedic patients, the ones we're talking about, are people who are elderly and living at home in pain, and they don't have the same voice as someone who has cancer or cardiac problems or screening. So, for instance, the vast amount of resources have been put into things like endoscopy to screen people to avoid the risk of getting cancer. If you have cancer, your treatment is expedited, but if you have arthritis and you're just in pain, then no priority is given to that. I mean, we constantly hear, for instance, in the news almost on a daily basis about some new drug which is going to cost 50 or 60 million a year, which needs to be funded through the HSE. You don't hear anything about the couple of thousand people who are probably waiting around the country for hip replacements that they have to be dealt with. So no priority is given to that. It just doesn't sound as dramatic as cancer.
Yet people suffer greatly, those awaiting treatment.
Oh, yes. I mean, I'm in post just over 20 years, and when I was first appointed, if I saw someone in an outpatient clinic and they needed a hip replacement or knee replacement, I would usually get them in within about 6 or 8 weeks. Now it's probably heading towards 18 months, and it's just a dramatic change. In those days, we had proportionally a lot more operating time. So, for instance, when 20 years ago, between myself and my colleague, Mr. Lynch, who had retired, we had every 4 weeks, we had 14 operating lists. Now, between four surgeons, we have about 10 every 4 weeks. So four people are doing only slightly more than one person did on their own.
You are in the business of helping people. You're in the business of making people feel better, making them better. You're there, you're available, your colleagues are available, yet still lists are being cancelled partially because of other matters. It must be incredibly frustrating, and I know you've expressed this frustration before in the past, Mr. O'Rourke.
Oh, it is. I mean, it's frustrating for me. That's because I don't get to do what I enjoy doing, but it's a hell of a lot worse for my patients who are living at home in pain. So my frustration is minor in comparison to the pain and the suffering that they're going through, and it's not something that looks like it's going to improve. I mean, we're used to having cancellations in January and February due to beds. We're not used to having it in July and August, and that's what it has become.
What do you believe could or should be done to fix this problem?
Well, the first thing would have been that the hospital needed more beds, and then you possibly need to make sure different departments are limited to using the resources that are allocated to them. I mean, for instance, in Letterkenny, when I was first appointed, we had a limited number of surgeons, a limited number of physicians. The number of physicians has dramatically increased, and to be fair, the number of surgeons has increased. But the problem is one side is taking resources from the other side, and that needs to be limited. I mean, we have to live within a certain number of beds, but most of the time we can't get access to our beds because other disciplines are using them, which is frustrating.
For example, just for people who may not be aware?
Well, I mean, when we have now, I think, something like 14 consultant physicians who are providing a tremendous service, be it the new disciplines, you know, with lots more cardiology, respiratory medicine, renal medicine, and gastroenterology. But the problem is all these new appointments are made without any resources being put in place for them. I mean, people think that if you get an extra consultant, it'll mean people's will be waiting less time to be seen, be it in outpatients or for treatment. But the problem is if you don't provide the resources for these new appointees to actually do the work that they're employed to do, then there's no benefit. And the problem for us has been, because we have so many new physicians who are providing a tremendous service, they require resources, and an awful lot of the resources they're providing are emergency resources, which means that anything that isn't an emergency gets put on the back burner.
Is someone making that decision, and not an individual but a collection of people, is someone making that decision saying, we'll focus our resources here, orthopaedics will be okay?
I wouldn't know, because no one ever tells us anything.
That's important information, though, isn't it? Because there's a lack of accountability, I think most people would agree. And whenever these questions get asked, it can never sort of really be determined who may or may not be making these decisions. And in fact, where those decisions are being made. Are they being made in Galway? Are they being made in Letterkenny?
Well, if you find out, I'd be grateful if you could tell me, because I don't really know. I mean, as a surgeon, we try to become more efficient. And examples of that would be that we embarked on a thing called an enhanced recovery program about 5 years ago, which resulted in virtually all certainly all orthopedics, and not quite all, but a lot of general surgery being admitted on the day of surgery. That basically shortened everybody's stay in hospital by one day. We also do enhanced recovery, which means patients get up and around and get out of hospital more quickly. So, for instance, our average length of stay for a joint replacement is now about 3.5 days, whereas 15 years ago, it was probably 7 days. So we become more efficient, yet the resources that we're no longer using are taken by others rather than being allowing us to expand our program. 6 years ago, the government asked doctors to increase the amount of things they did in day surgery so people didn't have to stay overnight in hospital. So we virtually all of our waiting list now for inpatient is for joint replacements and one or two other things. Everything else went to day surgery, but no resources were put into day surgery. So that list is enormous. So, I mean, you also get some clouding of the issue because now we have massive inpatient waiting lists, but we also have massive day case waiting lists, which are bigger than they if they were all those patients were still on inpatient waiting list, things would be even worse.
Could you explain the difference between inpatient, day patient, and outpatient? Because I am conscious that I use that terminology a lot in the news, but perhaps not everybody fully understands the difference between the various waiting lists or.
Okay. Well, an outpatient waiting list is a patient who's been referred by the general practitioner to be seen by a consultant in a clinic. Mm. They are assessed there then, and it is determined what sort of treatment they need. So, for instance, an orthopedics might be referring them for physiotherapy if they have some pain in a joint, or referring them for an operation if they need an operation. And then they would go on to an operation waiting list. Now, if a patient needs an operation, we try to do as much as we can as a day case, which means they go into a day surgery unit. So the patient is brought in on the morning, have their operation, and go home that evening.
Okay.
So that would be one waiting list. If a patient requires an overnight stay in hospital, be it because of the nature of the procedure, as in something they don't get over within a few hours, and then they're put on an inpatient waiting list, and that would be another operation waiting list, and the patient comes in on the day of surgery in our case and usually goes home 2 days later.
Mm. If I get frustrated at work, if there's a piece of machinery here that's not working, or I think there's some resource we need, there's people here, management structure that you can go to and at least, you know, express your frustration if such were to exist, and hopefully something will get done. Are you afforded that luxury in inverted commas? Like,
I'm afforded the luxury of going and sort of venting my spleen and getting angry and jumping up and down. But does it actually achieve anything, or do I get anywhere with it? No.
Okay. How long are you prepared as a professional who cares very much about the people that you care for? How long are you prepared to go on like this?
Oh, I'd say another 3 years and then I'll retire and it'll become someone else's issue.
Has that plan been sped up because of the current situation?
Well, when I was appointed 20 years ago, I would have told you that on my 65th birthday, you would have had to drag me out of the hospital screaming. Mm. Now I'd probably go at about 62 because by the time I get to 65, I'd probably have killed myself with the frustrations.
And that's what the major problem is, losing incredible people like yourself because of frustrations. You know, that's going to be the long-lasting effect. And how do you recruit? Why would someone replace you when they hear what you've gone through? Do you know where I'm coming from, Mr. O'Rourke?
Oh, believe me, I do. I mean, that's why, at the hospital, I think about a third of the consultants here are locums. Because, when you have situations like that and people are trained to do a certain amount of work and to do a degree of work that they get satisfaction of and they're providing a service, it's very difficult to employ someone who you tell they're not going to be able to do that. The frustration level is enormous. And, you know, when you're at my age, it's frustrating. But if you're a young Turk in your early 30s and you want to save the world and make the world a better place, and basically you can't do it, then you don't want to stay in that place.